أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، ولا فهم لنا إلا ما فهمتنا إنك أنت الجواد الكريم. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت، ولك الحمد أبدا أبدا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الأولين، وصل على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، معاشر الإخوة الكرام، dear brothers and sisters, last time we talked quickly about the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his history. We tried the impossible, tried to talk about the rich, busy life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, 63 years in few minutes. But the moral of the khutbah last Friday was to say that the message was, Islam is a full-time job. It's not a part-time job. You cannot design your own concept of Islam. You have to take the understanding of Islam from the Quran and Sunnah, like the Prophet ﷺ explained it to us. That's why it's very important to read, not just to read and understand and digest and reflect on the seerah and the story of the Prophet ﷺ. Because from this story, it's a moving Quran on earth. That's the whole thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have sent this Quran by many means, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. He could have sent it through angels, by angels, or by just by throwing a book from the skies. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it that He sent a man to live with among us, human beings, for like 40 years, 23 years as a prophet, and before that 40 years as a non-prophet, to make sure that we know how a good Muslim should live. So the ayah that I will start with, the khutbah today, is a very interesting ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. You should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should be a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, until the truth or certainty reaches you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means here in this ayah by certainty and truth is death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conveying the message to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to be a true slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just on Fridays, not just for the first few years, not just when you are in trouble and you need money and you need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be a slave till the last minute. So it's a full-time job in the quality and also in timing. Time-wise, you have to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the last day. And when we talked last time about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we said that there is no time. There was no time for him to focus on anything other than Islam and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't let anything divert him from focusing on one thing, which is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In 23 years as a prophet, he had at least major battles, 12 major battles, at least 12 major battles, and many other minor battles. And then he had also to invite people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He started Ghazwat Badr, the first battle, with 313 fighters. And then he ended up with the farewell speech with 100,000 Muslims in front of him, all in the span of 23 years. So you see, very busy life. And then he had to fight the Jews in the Medina. He had to fight the Romans in Hisham, in Lebanon and Syria. And he had to fight the disbelievers in Mecca. And he had to fight the hypocrites of Muslims inside Medina. And all of this, he still had, was a kind father to his children. He lost all of his children and sons and daughters while he was alive, except Fatima radiallahu anha. She died after him by 6 months. And at the same time, the hypocrites created this false story about Sayyidina Aisha, his wife, and that she has committed a sin, and he was able to handle this. Handling loss of all his sons and daughters, handling all these false stories about his wife. At the same time, he found the time to go and ask about his Jewish neighbor, whether he was sick or not. He had the time to play with a small child in the street for half an hour just to cheer him up because he was sad for losing his birth. He had the time to keep his promises. He was punctual. He never lied. He never stole money from anyone. He always paid his dues on time. And in the battle of Badr, I said last time, he knew that one of the disbeliever fighters was a good person. He was not a believer, obviously, but he was a good person. He was helping Muslims in Mecca. He said, don't kill him. Until he starts fighting you, then you have to defend yourself. But we want to show him that we are faithful. So under all those pressures, under all those duties, as the leader of the Muslim nation, he was focusing on everything. It's a full-time job. Because he knew that the order was, أَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be a slave till the last minute. And this is what he did. And actually today, inshallah, I will focus about the last few minutes of the, actually last few days of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We said last time after the conquering of Mecca, he forgived all the disbelievers. And then 2 years later, he returned back to Mecca to do the pilgrimage, the one pilgrimage he did in his life. And he led the pilgrimage, and all the time he said, people, look how I am doing pilgrimage, because I might not be doing pilgrimage with you again. So focus on what I am doing. And then on the day of Arafah, he stood up for the farewell speech, where he gave the final words of wisdom to all the nation. 100,000 Muslims standing in front of him, and each one is conveying the message to the those behind them, to make sure that every Muslim will capture the words. And he focuses on the major points. He said, number one, Muslims are all brothers. He said, Muslims are all brothers. There is no one higher than others, except if he is higher in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, literally, no Arab is higher than non-Arab. Because he understood that in many, many years, there will be Canadian Muslims, there will be Russian Muslims, there will be Brazilian Muslims, there will be Pakistani Muslims. So he wanted to make from the first day, obviously everybody, most of everybody standing in front of him were Arabs. So somebody might say, why is he saying this? If 99% of people standing in front of him were Arabs. But he knew that this will not be forever. He knew that people from other countries will be Muslims. So he said, Arabs are not higher than non-Arabs, except they are higher in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he made the criteria clear for highness on this earth, which is linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said, be kind to your brothers. Their property and their blood are sacred. So you cannot oppress them. You cannot kill them. You cannot steal their money. And he focused on women. He said, be kind to women. Treat them well. They are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trusted you on women, so you have to treat them well. And then he gave us the guidance that he left without the Quran and Sunnah. So we should stick to them, otherwise we will go astray. And then he said, focus on the worships. Don't skip the prayers. He said, do the prayers on time. Do the fasting. Do the zakah. Do the pilgrimage. So focusing on all those things. And don't look for guidance somewhere else other than the Quran and Sunnah. And then the reward was when he went down from this speech, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the highest reward to this ummah. The ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah when he says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islamu deena. Today I have perfected your religion and I have completed my favors on you and I have accepted with complacency this religion, the Islam, as your religion. One of the Jews, when he heard this ayah, he said to the Muslim who conveyed the ayah to him, he said, if we Jews have this ayah in our book, we have taken this day as a feast. So the Muslim said, yes, it is a feast. It was sent on a Friday, which is a weekly feast, and on Arafah, which is a yearly feast. So actually, we are celebrating two feasts on that day. So this is a big reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that now you have the perfect religion. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to beg for any guidance, because you have the guidance. The only thing is follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back to Medina with the Muhajirin and the Ansar. And then, on the 11th year of Hijrah, in Safar. Safar is the second month of the Hijri year. On that day, on that month, at the beginning of the month, he went to Uhud. Uhud was the mountain where they had the battle of Uhud. And then he visited the graves of the martyrs of Muslims who died there. 70 Muslims died there. Then he prayed for them and he did the funeral prayers. And then he went, and then in the middle of the month of Safar, he went and he visited all the deaths of the dead people of Muslims who were buried in Baqiyah. Baqiyah is a big graveyard in Medina. For those of you who visited there, it's a big graveyard where all the people who died in Medina are buried there. And he then prayed for them again. And then when he was going back with his servant, he said, you know, God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the choice whether to choose this life with all its enjoyments forever and then enjoy paradise as well, or join Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and join his heaven now. And I have chosen to join Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and join his paradise now. So while his servant tried to convince him, why don't take both? He said, no, I have accepted the other choice. So that was the middle of the month. And then towards the end of the month, on the 29th, there was a funeral, another funeral prayers in Baqiyah. And when he went back, on the way back home, he felt very high fever and he felt headache, severe headache. And that was the first day, the 29th of Safar, which is exactly 14 days before, almost 14 days before he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he felt sick. That was the first time the Muslims see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ill or sick. So he went home for a week and he was sick, except that he was doing prayers in the mosque. And then on the following week, he kept asking his wife, when is my turn with Aisha? When is my turn with Aisha? So his wives got the message and they knew that he wanted to be with Aisha. So they asked him to move to Aisha. And then on the last week of his life, والسلام, he moved to sit with Aisha. And then on the Wednesday, 5 days before dying, والسلام, he was extremely sick. He was very, very sick. He had a high fever. So he had people to help him to go to pray on that day. And then he gave a speech. After prayers, he said, number one, take care of the Ansar. Then he gave a speech. After prayers, he said, number one, take care of the Ansar, the people of Medina who helped him when he did the immigration. So he said, number one, take care of the Ansar. They helped me. They believed me when nobody else believed me. They accepted me and they protected me. And then he said, very famous word, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked one of his slaves, or give an option to one of his slaves, whether he wants to stay in this life forever or rejoins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this slave accepted the invitation and the offer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only one person understood this message. Abu Bakr alayhi radiallahu anhu. He said, فَدَيْنَاكَ بِأَبِينَا وَأُمِّنَا. We will protect you, we will sacrifice for you with our parents, just to keep you alive. So the people around Abu Bakr didn't understand, what is this old man saying? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is definitely talking about someone else dying. He's definitely not talking about himself. But Abu Bakr, the only person, because he was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got the hidden message and he said, we will sacrifice our parents for you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then on Thursday, he could only pray with them in Jama'ah, a congregation, till the Maghrib. He couldn't do Isha. He was very, very sick and he had to delegate the prayers to Abu Bakr Siddiq. And then on a Saturday, he asked his family to help him to get better. So he asked 7 buckets of water to be poured on him to make him to lower the fever for a little bit. And then on Saturday, he felt better. And again, he went to pray in congregation on Saturday. And everybody cheered up. They thought that Prophet ﷺ completely recovered. But he asked Abu Bakr to keep leading the prayers. And he stood on the right hand side of, actually on the left hand side of Abu Bakr. And he was leading the prayers for Abu Bakr, and Abu Bakr leading the Muslims. And then on a Sunday, he couldn't go outside at all. And then on a Monday, the last day of his life, والسلام, on the Fajr prayer, he was obviously awake doing the prayers, but he couldn't go out to pray with the Muslims. So he removed the curtain. There was only a curtain between his rooms, his wife's rooms, and the mosque. So he moved the curtain and he had a fine look on the Muslims doing Fajr prayer. So there was a turbulence in the mosque. Everybody thought that Prophet ﷺ, alhamdulillah, is coming back and he would pray with us. But he couldn't. He just had one final look and he had a big smile when he saw the Muslims praying Fajr. I wonder what the Prophet ﷺ now will say when he looks at the Fajr prayers, room prayers, and doesn't find a lot of Muslims praying now. So he moved back the curtains, and then in the early morning, he was extremely sick. He had a lot of pain. And then at that time, he had Fatima, his daughter, the only child alive, and she would die 6 months after he passes away. So she talks to him, and then he whispers something in her ears. So she cried, and then a few minutes later he whispered something in her ears, and then she smiled. When later on, when they asked her why she cried and then you smiled, she said, he said that this illness would be his final illness and he would die in this illness. That's why I cried. But later on, a few minutes later, he said, but you will be the first of my family to join me after I die. So I smiled. Because her objective was to be with his father, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then final minutes, again, very severe pain. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was saying, La ilaha illallah, inna al-maut, inna lil-maut ila sakarat. Death has its hardship. Death has its agonies. And he kept moving his hand in a bucket of water beside him and wiping his face, just to try to control the fever. And he said, La ilaha illallah, inna lil-maut ila sakarat. And then at that time, his head was on the lap of his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha. Again, a very important thing to reflect on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have decided that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have died in a battlefield as a martyr. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, to show us this is a real life of a Muslim. You can die with your head on the lap of your wife, but still the whole life was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has seen, as I said, more than 12 major battles and many other minor battles. He has done everything he can for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still, when he died, he showed us how to be kind to his wife. His head was on her lap. And again, Sayyida Aisha gave us an example of a kind wife. When she saw him looking at the son of Abu Bakr doing suwak in the final minutes of his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wanted to do suwak. So Sayyida Aisha, just with the look of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she knew that he wanted suwak. So she asked for the suwak, and she made it soft for him by using it first. So she used the suwak first to make it soft for him, and then she gave it to him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the suwak few seconds before dying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again conveying the message for hygiene and following the sunnah even in the last few minutes. And then Aisha radiallahu anha heard him saying, "Bal al-Rafiq al-A'la, Bal al-Rafiq al-A'la, Bal al-Rafiq al-A'la," means the heavenly companion, the heavenly companion. So she understood that the angel of death was giving him the option whether to come in and take his soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he wants to stay. And then the final thing that she heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying was, "Bal al-Rafiq al-A'la ma'a al-Nabiyyin wa-Shuhada wa-Salihin, Allahumma ghfir li warhamni, Allahumma ghfir li warhamni." He said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma forgive me and accept me with the prophets and martyrs and believers and the good deeds." So this was the final few minutes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then his hand dropped and he started looking, and his eye glazed, and he died sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously there was a huge turbulence in the Medina when they heard the news. Nobody believed. Even Umar, a strong person with a strong charisma, who led the Muslim through the most difficult times, he crashed. He couldn't believe. He said, he took his sword out and said, "Anybody who will say Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, I will kill him right now, on the spot." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not die. He just, like Musa, he went to meet his God and he will come back after 40 days. He completely crashed. The only person who led the Ummah at that time, the only person who was Abu Bakr, he asked Umar al-Khattab to stop speaking completely, asked everybody together, and he showed us leadership. The Prophet died, but still Muslims will lead the Islam to Canada and to Russia and to Brazil and to the smallest island in Singapore. This is how we should show leadership. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ died, but Islam is there. And he said in the final farewell speech, "Follow the Quran and Sunnah." He didn't say, follow the Prophet ﷺ forever. He said, "Follow the Quran and Sunnah forever." That's why Abu Bakr reminded the Muslims with one ayah in the Quran. Everybody forgot this ayah in the Quran. Even Umar ﷺ, when I heard this ayah, I couldn't remember it in the Quran. Nobody thought about it. When he said, "Wa Muhammadun illa Rasul," the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was only a prophet, a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ, with prophets before him. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ, if he dies or gets killed, you will turn your back from Islam. فَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, whoever will turn his back to Islam will never harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ سَيَجْزِي الشَّاكِرِينَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward those who thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet, the Abu Bakr Siddiq alayhi salam, showing leadership now, putting things into context. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was an unexceptional leader, unexceptional person. Everybody would have loved to live with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But now he died, and this is the new stage now. And Abu Bakr showed them how to focus, focusing on Islam as opposed to focusing now on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who died alayhi salatu wasallam. Inshallah, we'll take a break. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and to accept all our deeds, and then we'll summarize, inshallah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. So it is I think it's impossible for someone in a khutbah to summarize what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam done in his life. It needs many, many books. Some of the scholars wrote the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many, many volumes, and still everybody was looking just at one angle, either looking at the lessons and learnings from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like scholar Muhammad al-Ghazali in his book Fiqh al-Seerah, or somebody will look at the historical facts, like Mubarak Kafuri, a Pakistani scholar who talked about the historical facts of the seerah, and there is many, like Ibn Hisham, who focused on his interaction with the companionship. So there is a lot of books that talked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I don't think there is one single book that can really show us the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the living Quran among us. So we have to focus on the Quran, obviously, and we have to read the seerah. We have to reflect and understand how we should live Islam through the seerah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously gave us an example of how we can live 100% for Islam. 100% for Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alaysa Allahu bikafin 'abda?" Isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sufficient for his slave? This is the key thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a slave. But this will not be a fair request unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made himself sufficient for us. Because if I say to you, you have to be a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not sufficient. You have also to beg other people for help. Then this is not a fair order. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is fair and He is almighty, He said, follow my guidance, be a slave to me, and on this other hand, I am all sufficient to my slaves. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept sustenance to Himself. Nobody can claim that He is giving us sustenance or can prevent sustenance from receiving us. The same thing with life and death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one deciding when somebody will live or born and when somebody will die. At the same time with rain, nobody can decide when rain will fall down. The same thing with getting babies. Nobody can decide when or how they will get babies. And when you get babies, you never decide whether it's a girl or a boy. So all those scientific revolutions they are claiming, this is complete nonsense. And at some point they know they are lying. And they know they are lying. But we will know, we will have the proof that they are lying at some point. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept everything with Him. And that's why He said He is sufficient for us. So there is no reason whatsoever to go and seek help with anybody else. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if everybody gathers to benefit us for a small thing, they will never be able to do unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for us. And on the other hand, if they try to gather together to harm us for one small thing, they will not be able to do so. لو اجتمع الناس على أن ينفعوك بشيء لن ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك ولو اجتمع الناس على أن يضروك بشيء لن يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. So what do we need? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Arafah, on the last year of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the 10th of Hijrah, He said, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم, I perfected your religion. Then He said, I am sufficient. أليس الله بكاف عبدا? Isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sufficient for His slave? And then He gave us the Quran, the final word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He promised that this Quran will not be changed till the end of life. This is a guarantee, you don't have to worry about it. So He gave us the guidance. He is sufficient. And He gave us the order to be slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He gave us a good example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, all the stories of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are still available. And there is tons of authenticated hadith and stories about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even if you ignore the weak stories, if you ignore any stories that has doubts, still you have sufficient history about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to understand how he was treating his wives, how he was treating his enemies. We lack even the knowledge now how to treat our enemies, how to treat our friends, how to treat our kids. We are struggling to treat our kids. When you see, on the final minutes of his death, he ordered all his wives to come to his room, few minutes before he died. And he gave them a final speech, final words of wisdom. And then he asked for Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, his grandson, Hasan and Al-Husayn. And he also prayed for them, and he asked people to be kind for them. A few days before he died, he asked people to be kind for the Ansar. And he asked people to be kind to one another. He said, Muslims are brothers, they are all equal. And he gave us examples of how to treat prisoners. When they had prisoners in Ghazwat Badr, he did not torture them like many nations are doing now. He actually said, we have a lot of ignorant people, because most of the people who immigrated from Mecca were ignorant. He said, if a prisoner wants to get free and he doesn't have money, all he has to do is to teach one of the Muslim ignorant people, illiterate people. And this is how he transferred knowledge, just by a simple thing, by showing mercy to people. He conveyed knowledge and learning to the illiterate Muslims. So every single action the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam done can be reflected on, and you can get a lot of things out of it, and how we should deal in this life. So obviously there is a lot to think about, there is a lot of decisions, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed in the Quran all the excuses. So inshallah, when you read the Quran, the whole Quran in one go, in maybe next Ramadan, make a list, get a sheet of paper and write all the excuses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written in the Quran. I cannot remember it, it's very difficult, but I can maybe mention 3 or 4. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the tongue of some of the hypocrites, لا تنفروا في الحر, don't do jihad in this heat. When he asked them to go and do Ghazwat Tabuk, it was in the summer, and they said, we cannot do this, we will walk 500 miles in the heat of the desert in Saudi Arabia. So he said, لا تنفروا في الحر. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمُ أَشَدُّ حَرًا لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. The heat of hellfire is even worse if they know. And then some people will say, again in the Quran, لَيْتَنِي اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ سَبِيلًا, I hope I followed the Prophet. لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخَذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا, I hope I didn't take this person as a friend. He misguided me. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي, he diverted me from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after it came to me. And many examples, and maybe in Surah Al-Mu'minin, Surah Al-Nur, somebody said, on the judgment day, قال رب ارجعون, return me to life, لعلي أعمل صالحا. So hopefully, maybe, لعلي, I will do something good. And the scholar said something good with me, that he will do charity and he will do pilgrimage, because he was a wealthy person and he didn't do well with his money. So there is a lot of examples and excuses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed all the excuses. Another one from the hypocrites, he said, شغلتنا أموالنا وأهلنا. We were busy, شغلتنا, we were busy, diverted, أموالنا, our money, وأهلنا, and our families. Which is, I think, a very, very common excuse now that we all use. We are very busy. How can we do? We have our family and our business. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah, which is directed, targeting the hypocrites of Muslims in Medina. He said, قلت إن كان آباؤكم, say, if your parents, آباؤكم, وأبناؤكم, your child, وإخوانكم, your brothers, وأزواجكم, your wives and your spouses, وعشيرتكم and your tribes, وأموال اقترفتموها, money that you are collecting, وتجارة تخشون كسادها, and trade that you are afraid will decline, ومساكن ترضونها, and houses that you would enjoy, أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله, dearer to your heart from Allah, Allah wa Rasuli and His Prophet, وجهاد في سبيله, and jihad in the way of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, فتربصوا, wait in an anxiety, فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره, until Allah سبحانه وتعالى will decide what He will do with you. So all excuses we are using today is not a surprise, it is in the Quran. Whoever will read you in Quran, if you will read Quran in Arabic or in English, you will find those excuses very clearly mentioned in the Quran. Everything you can dream of will be there, whether it is entertainment. In Surah Al-Jum'ah, he said, وَلَوْ رَأُوا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. On for Friday prayers, if they see trade or entertainment like a football game, they will leave you standing preaching and they will go running after it. So any excuse you can think of, studying, money, houses, wives, kids, anything that we are using right now is in the Quran. And guess what? The reply is also in the Quran. The reply to those excuses, that they are false excuses. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one ayah, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient. So why are we doing this? Why are we not focusing on the key mission for us in this life? And we have created our own understanding of Islam, our own understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have created our own objectives. And then we think that we will have a different kind of judgment on kind of questioning on the judgment day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثم بدا لهم من الله ما لم يكن يحتسبون. ثم, and then they have seen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what they couldn't have guessed and they couldn't plan for, because we are planning for a different thing. We think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge us on everything we do, but the records are keeping every second of our lives. The records are keeping everything we think about and everything we plan for and every excuse we say for not praying, for not doing zakah, for not doing pilgrimage. So alhamdulillah, we have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fatiha, all you have to do is read Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by saying Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, He is the most mercy. And this will give us hope. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, the owner of the judgment day. So we don't have to beg for anyone else. We don't have to be afraid of anyone else. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ankabut, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, those who you worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. They will not even create a fly, even if they gather together. So if NASA and all the technological institutes worldwide would get together to create a fly, they would fail. A fly. And then the challenge even gets harder. He says, even this fly will snatch something from them. If a fly will be on a mug of coffee from one of those scholars in NASA and will pick some drops of coffee, he cannot get this drop of coffee out of it. وَإِنْ يَسْلُبْهُمْ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَنْ يَسْتَنْفِذُوهُمْ. Even if the fly will snatch something from them, they cannot take it out of it. This is the strength of people that we are afraid of. Very clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the Quran. So we have to be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَالِكْ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, the owner of the judgment day. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين, إياك نعبد, we will worship you, وإياك نستعين, and we will ask you for help. So this is the key point. That's what I'm reading Surah Al-Fatiha now. Is إياك نعبد, we worship you, وإياك نستعين, and we ask you for guidance and help. So all you have to do is ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, people who will do effort for us, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, we will show them the way. So don't start to wait till you see the way and then starting doing effort for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not the right thing to do. My advice is start working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, will show you the right way and will guide you. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, اهْدِنَا, show us الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ, show us the right way. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, that He will show us the right way following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we finish, inshaAllah, we pray for all our brothers and sisters worldwide who are under severe hardship these days. So I'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all to help them through this hardship and also help us to help Islam and support them. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على قوم الكافرين. اللهم اغفر لإخواننا في كل مكان. اللهم اغفر لإخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الشيشان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في أفغانستان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في باكستان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في كشمير. اللهم انصر إخواننا في إندونيسيا. اللهم انصر إخواننا في باكستان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الفلبين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في العراق. اللهم انصر إخواننا في لبنان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الجزائر. اللهم انصر إخواننا في نيجيريا. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الحبشة. اللهم انصر إخواننا في السودان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان. اللهم أعنا على نصرتهم. اللهم أعنا على نصرتهم. اللهم أعنا على خدمة الإسلام. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على قوم الكافرين. وأقم الصلاة.